Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob Parker, I'm sure you feel like gloating. Let me lay out the scene and then I'm going to let you go. First of all, the Tennessee Titans. Head coach Mike Vrabel, former teammate, still a good friend of Tom Brady's, texting with Brady at the college basketball game that Brady was at with Julian Edelman, a week or two ago. Turns out they really didn't want Tom Brady. They go ahead and they sign Ryan Tannehill today to a four-year, $118 million contract. So now, of course, they are out of the running for Tom Brady. And the reports coming out say there are only two teams that are in the running for Tom Brady, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and, of course, the New England Patriots. But how much running the Patriots are doing, it seems more like they're walking, because according to the reports, they have offered Tom Brady a one-year deal for less money than he made last year. He made $23 million last year, and reportedly they offered him a deal for even less than that. Here it is. It was on WEEI in Boston.
This is what I was told happened. There was a phone call between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. There was not a negotiation. There wasn't a, we'll offer you a two-year deal at X number of dollars. What I was told happened is that the Patriots told Tom Brady that all they can do is a one-year deal at less money than he made last year.
Oh, pay cut.
Because of the $13.5 million that get tacked onto the salary cap, and that basically what we're going to be able to do here, Tom, is a one-year deal, but it's not going to be for as much money as you got last year.
Do you know if Tom hung up immediately?
I don't know that.
Okay.
But here's where both sides are right. Tom Brady's side says that didn't go well at all.
Right.
What they're basically offering is a one-year deal at a pay cut because of the salary cap issues. From Belichick's perspective, it's business as usual.
Yeah,
it's what we do.
What do you want? That's what we're talking about. And
what it does, yeah. Assuming that my sources are right, and that's what happened last week, he is absolutely gone.
That was Dale Arnold. And Rob, I got a take, but I'm going to let you have first crack. What are you thinking?
I told you! How about that for a start? I told you.
Who wants him? Somebody, he's got to play somewhere.
I told you, 43 years old, Tom thought he was going to sashay around and everybody was going to do cartwheels to try to engage Tom Brady and say, yes, oh yeah, we'll take a shot. And 43, which is what he'll be next season when the season starts, is uncharted waters. No one is going to break the bank. I don't know this talk about Tampa. I still thought it would be the Chargers because of what they have in front of them with trying to sell tickets. So I thought,
it,
I told
it,
you the
could
whole time.
Be, sometimes we see a team.
It could be, right.
Yeah, come out of, they wouldn't be coming out of nowhere, but you're right.
But you know what I mean, right. At the last second, they realize they need them and they just pay it. But I said, from that standpoint, I understand. For the Patriots, Chris, who the whole time, oh, yeah, we want him back. Oh, the owner, Bob Kraft. Oh, yeah, Tom's my guy. Go check the market and come back. For them to offer him a pay cut and a one-year deal is a slap in the face. It really is. And it tells you, basically, that they don't want him. Nobody wants Tom Brady, not as that star quarterback for big bucks to come in and take a team to the promised land. If Tennessee was going to honestly do, they had the money. They had the money to say, we're going to play this out and give ourselves 2 years with the team we have in place, the team that we just had a run and was a game away from the Super Bowl, right? They could have done it. They said, nope. Ryan Tannehill is better than Tom Brady at this point, and they gave him the money. So this was what I was telling you the whole time. The Patriots never wanted him back. All the indications, Chris, because you never let your girlfriend go out and check out other guys. If you really want her, you would just seal the deal and say, you're not going anywhere. Here's the ring, baby. You don't need to check anybody else out. That's not what the Patriots did. And now Tom Brady probably, as they said on WEEI, I'm sure he probably hung up the phone when they said a one-year contract for less money. That's not getting it done. That's not getting the more players that he needs. So I can't see any way Tom Brady returns. And I'm still saying I can't believe it's going to be Tampa Bay. And I'm still here today, Monday, saying Tom Brady will wind up with the Chargers.
All right, I got a lot to say. Number one, I think the Tennessee Titans made a mistake. Are you trying to win a Super Bowl, or are you just trying to be pretty good? Because that's what you're going to be with Ryan Tannehill. In the two playoff games you won, he threw for less than 100 yards in each game. Whenever you needed him to air it out and throw the football and even come close to winning you a game, he came up short. He threw for 30, he threw 30 or more times four games last season. They were 1-3. All right, so you better, Derrick Henry better be able to carry the load just like he did last year, or the Tennessee Titans will be one of those many teams we see that has a great year and it has a down year. The defense is mediocre at best. You should have went out and got Tom Brady. Try to win a Super Bowl while Derrick Henry is still young and sturdy. That's what they should have done. He didn't carry the ball a lot his first 2 years. Last 2 years, he did, obviously, last year. A lot of wear and tear on him. He should be fine for the next year or two. They should have gave Brady a deal that he couldn't refuse. And I'm not saying 3 years. I even said a couple months ago, Rob, I get it. You're 43 years old. It's a year-by-year thing. But make work something out. One-year deal, big money, second-year team option, something like that. But you should have went out and got Tom Brady. You know there's no three-year, no five-year plans anymore. Try to win it while your window is open. And it was open and no longer open. Tannehill. He's played 10 great games in 7 years. He's had a winning record 2 years out of seven in the league. Is he really changed all that much? I think not. Now on to Tampa Bay. No. How you going to Tampa Bay, Tom Brady? I don't even think I'd think about going to Tampa Bay.
There is Mons Venus down there. Oh, I'm sorry.
They were 7-9 last year. They got good receivers, yes. But they don't have much of a defense. In fact, they were 29th in the league in scoring defense last year. They don't have much of a run game. They were 24th in rushing yards last year. You need both of those things if you think you're going to get Tom Brady. So I think he doesn't think about Tampa Bay. That leaves a court. I mean, if it's not the Chargers, and maybe it is, as you said, he got to go back.
He can't go back and be humiliated with his tail between his legs. You're kidding yourself.
Who else is paying him?
If you think he's going to go back and grovel to Bill Belichick and take scraps,
here's what he needs to do. They offered him less money because his cap hit will be, I don't want to get too complex with the cap and all that stuff, but it'll be $13.5 million if he signs after free agency, which starts Wednesday. Sign now. Sign before free agency. Maybe you get $23 million again, $22 million, $25 million, whatever it is. I do understand. As much as I support Brady, you're 43. I get it. I get why a team would only want to give you a year, two at the most. Because like you said, Rob, we don't know. We have no idea what he's going to look like.
Zero.
So I get why a team would only give him 1 year, but I, I, I think it's setting up for him to go back, Rob. Who are they getting? Who's New England getting? Unless they're getting Bridgewater, I don't know where they're going.
I don't see it. I think it's the exact opposite. I mean, that phone call probably sent chills down his spine. That they had the audacity to call me up and offer me less money. I never got paid as a star quarterback in the NFL. And all I wanted to do was get taken care of in after winning all these Super Bowls and bringing all this prestige to this organization. And they offered me a pay cut.
And if it's not, okay, I get you saying it's the Chargers. If it's not the Chargers, what, should he go to Tampa?
No, he should retire, like I said earlier this year.
Well, if
retire.
He wants to play, that's my point. If he wants to play, he's gotta be realistic and understand, yeah, you might think you're in great shape at 43, but it's never been done. He's always been able to put his pride aside, and this is the time where he's got to put it aside more than ever. But we'll see.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We got Terrell Brandon on the line. And let me say this. My first beat way back in 1995 was the Cleveland Cavaliers. I moved from high schools to covering the NBA. And Terrell Brandon was on that first team I covered. And one of the best, of all the years I've been covering the NBA, he was one of my favorite players to cover. He was a great player. Actually, I think was an all-star my first year and second year covering the league. And just had a great run with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let me welcome in Terrell Brandon. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm up bro, Chris, man. How you doing, bro?
It's great to have you on, man.
You know, Chris didn't know what he was doing.
Man.
You know, Chris didn't know what he was doing when he was covering the NBA. He didn't know what he was doing. It was a train wreck.
He helped carry me.
I wish I did, man. I was so young when I first came in. And then once I got established, man, I appreciate you and Michael Holly for even interviewing me, man. So, you know what I mean, Chris, man. You've always been a good brother. And I appreciate you, man.
Nah, thank you, man, for joining us. Now, you're from Portland. Are you living back in Portland, and what are you up to these days?
Yeah, I'm still here in Portland, man. I came right back home. I never did really leave, you know, all season. I always came back here to Portland. And so when I retired, I just continued to live here in Portland, and I've been here ever since, man.
Now, I want to ask you this, because like I said, a caller brought this up last hour when we announced that you were going to be on the show. And that I think it was your first year you were an all-star, and Sports Illustrated came out with the story. You were on the cover, and they had that you were the best point guard in the NBA. And there were guys, you know, Gary Payton, John Stockton, other guys that were getting a lot more love, but they said you were the best point guard in the NBA. How did you take that, and how did that make you feel, and even did it put pressure on you, you know, for that year and the remaining years of your career?
You know what, Chris? It was a trip because when I got interviewed, my impression was they were just interviewing me, and I was just so honored to be interviewed by someone in Sports Illustrated, but they never told me that I was going to be on the cover. They never talked about really much about me being the best point guard in the NBA or one of the best point guards. I thought it was just a regular interview.
Wow.
And so when I made the All-Star team in Cleveland, and when I saw when we had practice, and I saw Sports Illustrated all over the practice, and I saw my face, I was just as shocked as the rest of the players.
Wow.
So Sports Illustrated never told me that I was going to be on the cover, and I saw, you know, point guards looking at me like, you know, that nod, like, you know, you say, what's up? And guards were going, you know, like, they wasn't saying what's up. They were just like, what's up? I was like, what's going on?
Right, right.
So it was kind of one of those things, you know what I mean?
Do you think it's...
They was hunting me for the second half of the year. They were really, they was after me, man.
I believe it because, you know, once you make a move like that and everybody and you become a target. But my biggest knock on sports today is we like to crown young players like they're it. They've made it. We should just put them in the Hall of Fame after 10 or 15 games or whatever, you know, they've accomplished. Do you see that in sports? Does that bother you, or is it just a sign of the times with kind of social media and people wanting to be crowned without accomplishing a lot?
Yeah, I want to say, first of all, what's up, Ralph? How you doing, man? I've never met you before, brother, but it's like I know you. I've seen you so many times on TV.
Be thankful you don't know him. Be thankful you don't know him.
Watch out, Chris. you know, I think that sometimes we get, as fans, we get caught up in the moment, and we're so proud of players and their accomplishments right away. But I think we should hold tight for a minute and allow a player to really develop and give us some years. You know, we talk about like the Hall of Fame of baseball, and it gets kind of tarnished a little bit because it's like they're just throwing anybody in sometimes. So I think that sometimes we need to kind of just hold back and allow players to really become great before we anoint them as being superstars. Sometimes, like myself, I wasn't a superstar, but I was an all-star. So it was, you know, when I came to the league, it was God, which was Michael Jordan. Yep. And then it was superstars, and then it was all-stars, then stars, then great players. So I think sometimes we need to hold tight for a second.
100%. When you look at today's game, and you, I mean, one of your strengths, Terrell, was that mid-range jump shot. I mean, coming off the pick and roll, that was like, you know, one of your go-to shots. And now they're saying that's a bad shot. You know, they want you to either take the three-pointer or go all the way to the basket and shoot something in the paint. When you watch today's game, what do you think? I mean, does it look almost like a completely different game to you?
It looks like I don't play video games, but I watch guys who do. And it looks like more of a video game when I watch TV. It's either you shoot free throws, it's either a dunk, or it's a three-point shot. And the mid-range game, as you mentioned, and thank you for saying that, it's almost like, you know, if I was playing today and shooting my mid-range game, I would never be on Fox. I would never be on SportsCenter.
Right.
Because it's almost like a corny shot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I lived on that shot, that 15 feet. Coming off the pick and roll, come off of Brad Daugherty, or come off of, you know, Tyrone Hill or something like that. I lived off of shots like that. And so the game has changed. No hand-checking rule, you know, that we grew up on, that, you know, you can just pretty much do what Derek Harper used to do and just steer you one way, and this is it, man. This is as far as you go.
You know,
now,
can you touch on that? Because you're right. Like that one, we see these guards putting up these humongous numbers. Talk about how difficult it was playing in the era of the hand check.
Oh man, I watch Trae Young from Atlanta and players like that. They can just do pretty much whatever they want to. You know, Allen Robinson would not allow you to do any of that. You know, you come out to pick and roll and you hit him two or three shots in a row. The next time down, he's going to smack you in the back of your head. You know, we didn't allow anyone to ISO anybody. I would come off my man or somebody would come off their man and say, you know, we're not going to let you embarrass one of my teammates. And now it's, you know, it's pretty much an isolation or a three-point shot. And, you know, you have to be, you know, proud of, you know, young Curry and players like that who can shoot the ball and watch his dad and things like that. But when I came up, and I don't want to sound like an old man, you know how it is, but you have to compare when you play, when I played, to the era now. And this was something that's crazy, Robin and Chris, is that everybody gets older. And eventually, another 10 years, watch what Draymond Green and watch what Durant and other players say. They're going to say the same thing we're saying back when I played.
Right.
This is the time, you know, this is the era that we played in, what we can do. So every era really is different.
Obviously, the suspension of the league, you know, because of the coronavirus and what's going on, which is all uncharted waters. But Chris and I talk about this. A lot of teams have played like 65 games or whatever. They're talking about maybe not even starting back until June. Should the NBA just go to the playoffs and pick up there? Or do you think they should actually try to finish the regular season and then play until July or August, the playoffs? Or this seems like a bit.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work, because if they did, and then it would go to July or August, are you going to pick up in September, October and start training camp again?
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like, that's a really short off season. I would just cancel the whole season, let it be a wash, everybody get healthy.
Not even the playoffs. Not even have the playoffs. Wow.
Yeah, just cancel it and let it be a wash and start another season over with everyone getting tested, making sure that everybody is healthy, and then let's just start all over fresh.
You know, that might be the wise thing, because they don't want to, you know, the owners don't want to do it because they're going to lose all that money. But
man, they got so much money, man. They shouldn't be tripping. Right. Off. They're billionaires, man. You know, NBA players are millionaires, man, but those owners are billionaires. They're not going to suffer for a couple months.
Right.
I don't think
right
so.
About that. We're joined by two-time NBA All-Star Terrell Brandon. Last thing, Terrell, you mentioned it. You played against Michael Jordan, as you said, God. And there's always the debate, Jordan or LeBron. And you played against Kobe, too. Who, in your opinion, who's the GOAT? Whether it's Jordan, LeBron, or you feel somebody else, and why?
I love LeBron. You know, I had LeBron in my basketball camp in the eighth grade when he was in Akron,
in Cleveland. Right.
You remember that, Chris? You know, I had my basketball clinics.
Yeah.
And so I'm always high regard with LeBron. Kobe was just on another level because he admired the best player. But I encourage all young players, now you don't have to get VHS like we did, Rob and Chris, and we'll go to the library and look people up. We can jump on our phone and go to YouTube, and you watch Michael Jordan, and there is no player in the world that could do the things that Michael Jordan could do on both ends of the court, not just in the playoffs, but he started in the preseason letting people know how great he was.
Mm.
There's nobody like Michael Jordan. I don't care what they say. I don't care what it is. All these guys want to be like the best.
Right.
And when you want to be like the best, to me, there's no way you can succeed being the best like Michael Jordan. He was the smartest. He was the most intelligent. And he improved his game every year and was never satisfied.
Man, we agree with you. We telling people that all the time.
I covered the NBA during that time. I was in Cleveland when Michael Jordan made that shot. I was sitting courtside against Craig Elo. So I saw Michael Jordan. I saw when people used to – they always think LeBron is harshly criticized, and Jordan didn't get that. You know that Michael Jordan was criticized early in his career. He's just a dunker. He doesn't make anybody any better. He'll never win. I heard all that stuff about Michael Jordan, and then we saw what happened.
He waited 7 years before he got one. But once he established himself and improved his jump shot, improved his body, too. I mean, if you look when he first came in the league, he was still slim out of North Carolina. But all of a sudden, he just started getting bigger and stronger and even faster. And he cut his hair. Remember, because ball hair wasn't really in style back then.
He
had the goatee. Yeah. And he had the knee pad. Everybody wanted to be like Jordan.
Right.
Everybody. Now, so you have to be proud of him.
Quickly, you mentioned that LeBron was at your camp as an eighth grader. When you saw him, did you know? I mean, obviously, you knew he was good for an eighth grader and all that. But did you see, like, oh, no, this dude is like really, really something special? Or did he just look like a really good, you know, eighth grade player at that point?
You know what, Chris, I'll make it quick. I told my dad, I said, this young man, I want you to see, his name is LeBron James. He said, LeBron, that's an interesting name. I said, he's right over there. I said, watch him during this basketball clinic. And I moved LeBron up from the eighth grade to the seniors in one day.
Wow.
Chris Dennis said to me, he said, Terrell, he says, every camp that he goes to, he gets the MVP all over the country. And his basketball IQ was so great that he really, I mean, he's one of the few players that really didn't care about scoring.
Right.
He just wanted to get people involved. He knew the game already. He was rebounding. He was getting guys involved. And he was telling guys, seniors, cut, man, cut. I got you. I mean, and during the clinic, and my dad said, my dad folded his arms, said, you know how the old school is, right?
My dad folded his arms and said, Terrell, come here. He said, son, something wrong with that boy.
Hey, I said,
you know how the old school say something wrong with him? That's a compliment,
right,
you know?
Right. He ain't like everybody
said,
else.
Wrong with that boy. He said, that boy is special. So, right. You know, you can see it right away that he had something that was different than any other player.
Was he missing clutch free throws back then, too?
Watch out, Rob. Watch out.
See what I...
You had to end it like that.
You know it.
He's going to get better, man. Hey, you know what? During the playoffs next year, he's going to shoot better. And I just think that he should go back to, who was that young man, Chris and Rob, who was there back when he was, Chris Jett from Ohio State? Is that his name?
I remember Chris Jett.
Yeah, I remember that name,
okay.
Too.
I think he was his shooting coach back when he first came into the league. I think LeBron has changed his free throw style over the years.
Oh, man. It seemed like every few months.
Yeah, so I think if he go back and make look at some tape and say, what was I doing when I first came into the league, stick with that routine, no matter what happens, I think he'll become a better free throw shooter.
Mm. Wow. Well, Terrell, great stuff, man.
Good
great
stuff.
Stories.
Yes.
We appreciate it. And I know that was Jump Shot Charlie, your dad, right?
I remember that. Wow, Chris. That's my dad, man, from Carthage, Arkansas, man. They named him Jump Shot Charlie because he was the only person that was actually shooting a jumper back in the day. So they named him Jump Shot Charlie.
Great stuff, man. We appreciate it. And we'll have you on again, man, for real. Down the
man,
line.
I appreciate it, Chris. And I want to say this, man. Thank you, man, for giving me a call when my mother passed away. That really meant a lot to me a couple years ago, man. Thank you, brother.
Nah, man, you're welcome. She was a great woman. She started the NBA Moms. They had moms from all over the league were involved in it. And, yeah, she was a great, great lady. And it was my pleasure, man, to call you on that day. So,
Thank you, brother. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, stay well. Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, look, from one quarterback to another, Deshaun Watson, and, you know, Brady, we saw the frowns on his face every time he was on the sideline, it seemed, this past season, because he really didn't have the receivers that could get open, that could get space to throw to. And you wonder if Deshaun Watson in Houston is going to be feeling the same way this year. Now, he does have Will Fuller and Kenny Stills, both deep threats. But Fuller's always hurt. He's played like half the games over the last 4 years, something like that. And Stills is good, but a bit, you know, up and down. Sean Salisbury, who we had on tonight, who's a radio host in Houston, former quarterback in the NFL, he said on our show that Watson, he wouldn't blame Watson for having wandering eyes.
If I'm Deshaun Watson, I look long and hard at this, and I'm going to tell you what, every day that goes by that he doesn't give me players and takes players away from me, the price tag goes up or I'm out. And you know what? The windows aren't open very long, and the window, it's not slammed shut because Watson's still on there. But it got closed a little further down towards the slamming shut on the Texans.
That, of course, is Sean Salisbury talking about the Texans trade of DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson, a running back who had one really good season in the NFL, but that was like 4 years ago. I mean, it was a horrible trade, Rob. Absolutely positive. There's no
defending. Not one person. And that's unusual to be able to who can justify the trade or think that Houston did the right thing. Not one.
The only, there's been an explanation out there that some reporters have said Hopkins wanted a new deal and he didn't get along with O'Brien, but this is ridiculous.
So, right. Okay. If it's based on personalities, then you throw everything out the window then.
But even if it is based on I got to think you could have got more than that. Look, and nothing against David Johnson, but he rushed for 1,200 yards 4 years ago. And since then, he's done nothing. He's been hurt most of the time, or at least half the time. He rushed for 23 yards the next season, 940 after that, but on less than 4 yards a carry, 3.6. Heck, He's averaged 3.6 yards a carry for the last 2 years. Mm. And you paying that guy, he's locked up for two more years. He's got pretty good money because he's one of the highest paid running backs in the league. I mean, horrible deal. Even if you were going to trade Hopkins, which makes no sense, that wasn't the guy to trade him for. But, Rob, do you think Watson should either maybe demand a trade?
I don't know if it would be like they made a trade and he's going to demand it now. I think they want to see how it plays out this year, right? And then I think he'd have to take a look and see what the impact it was, on the team, where it's going, and then he could take a look. He's not at that point yet, right? Where he has to.
No, he'll be going into his fourth year. I'm with you. I don't think he's as great as he is, and he's been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years, and he's viewed generally as probably one of the five, six top quarterbacks in the league. I don't think him demand, even though a lot of people would understand it, I just don't think he's at that stage where it'd be a good look yet.
Right. Hey, Rob G., do you have some more information you could add to this?
Well, I just want to give some context to it. Now, I know that this trade on its face is really bad, but this is just the latest in a series of bad moves by Bill O'Brien. Let me run it through you. The last 2 years, ever since Bill O'Brien was named de facto GM back in June, he traded a third-round pick for Duke Johnson, who was their second-string running back this past year after they acquired Carlos Hyde. So if you think about it, after adding David Johnson, they've added three running backs in the last 8 months.
And you don't need right. Duke Johnson and David Johnson are pass-catching running backs.
Right. What makes David – at his heyday, David Johnson was a three-down back, so that would make Duke Johnson irrelevant in that offense. That's number one. Number two, they traded away Jadeveon Clowney for a third-round pick and two backup linebackers. So that's because they didn't want to pay him. That's number one.
Yeah, that was it. That was another one they gave up.
They doubled down. This is why if you're Deshaun Watson, you got to be concerned. They gave up two first-round picks and a second-round pick for left tackle Laremy Tunsil, who they aren't sure they want to break the bank for right now as a free agent. And the only reason they had to trade for Tunsil to begin with is because Bill O'Brien alienated their previous left tackle, Duane Brown, and traded him to Seattle. So if you're Deshaun Watson, how can you feel comfortable with what decision-making is going on in Houston right now?
No, you can't. You can't. And what I'm saying is, if I agree with Rob, I would play out this season, see how it goes, and then if it goes poorly, I'm looking elsewhere.
So Rob G,
they can obviously franchise him, which is a problem.
Right. Saw it with Dak Prescott.
I'd be trying to go elsewhere.
He should make a stink? Because Chris and I don't think so.
And this is the only reason why.
Okay.
Normally in this situation, you'd say, all right, we're going to let go of the coach because he's not winning, which Bill O'Brien hasn't been winning.
They're getting to the playoffs.
But with that kind of talent on that team that they had, they should be doing much better than what they have been the last few years. But you would probably let go of the general manager. The only problem is the general manager is the coach.
Right.
So you can't really separate the two. Unless you're going to replace Bill O'Brien, the coach, or Bill O'Brien, the general manager, what can you do if you're Deshaun Watson? He's systematically taking your team apart of the best players.
It sounds like, and we know O'Brien, where does he come from? Belichick tree. It sounds like he thinks he's Belichick in that regard. He's not, because these guys, Rob, the guys he's getting rid of aren't on their way, downhill. He's getting rid of guys in their prime, right before they hit their prime, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Like, he just doesn't want to pay. He probably gets that from Belichick, but he's not Belichick, and it's as simple as that.
Yep, and if you're a player, you should take a look at that and realize, do I really want to go to Houston? They don't pay people, That was Philadelphia for a long time. You remember that? They wouldn't pay people.
Now, I hear you, Rob G., but I'm with Rob. I just don't think it helps Watson at this stage to do that. But I look, if this year goes badly, then, he's got to be looking elsewhere.